It's hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. At 2:30, Brandon Lane gets you degenerates ready for the football weekend. And in mere minutes, we're talking college football with Brian Jones of CBS. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving. We've got lots of football going on and, of course, getting ready for basketball season to start. Remember, Longhorn basketball tonight at 7, pregame 6:30. So triple option leading you up to basketball. And then after basketball, we will have our normal Wednesday stuff with Fight Night and Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. We did have Under the Lights, the special edition last night, so we're moving some things around there. Also, your big headline stories of the day as we try to grab Brian Jones of CBS Sports. The CBS game on Saturday is the Iron Bowl with Alabama and Auburn. Nick Saban has tested positive for COVID-19. He will not coach in that game. Other headlines of the day, the sad story of the death of Diego Maradona in soccer. He is dead at the age of 60. Maradona had been going through all kinds of things, including a brain surgery operation back in November, but he has passed away at the age of 60. The soccer world mourns that death today. Also, the NFL is dealing with the postponement, if you will, of one of the biggest games they have, and certainly the biggest game of Thanksgiving. Ravens Steelers has been moved to Sunday. We don't know exactly when, but it will not be played on Thursday night. The Ravens have all kinds of COVID issues, if you didn't realize that. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He's nice enough to rearrange his schedule for us this week. It's Brian Jones of CBS Sports, and it is brought to you, as always, by Spa-Mobile Haircuts. If you are a little scraggly or a lot scraggly, cut your hair anytime, anywhere. Download the Spa-app from the Apple or Google Play stores and order today. Brian, how are you?
Terrible, man. I don't have no fried turkey. You didn't send me no dressing, no sweet potato pie. How the hell you think I am?
Man, I wish I couldn't send it to you because I'd have eaten it all. There's no way. It's rough. So how is your – you like me and like a lot of people, you love to eat. You love to eat around this time. How is 2020 affecting your Thanksgiving here? What are we going to get to have some of it, any of it? What do you get?
Yeah, I've got some friends here in New York. I usually nestle up to their dining room table and grub, so I'll be all right. I'll be well taken care of.
There you go. Okay, that's good to hear. Good to hear. So before we get to your Longhorns, why don't we get to the game that you guys will have on Saturday? I don't need to tell everybody what the Iron Bowl is, but now we've got a weird circumstance as far as the game goes. This one, they say, is not a false positive with Saban. He does have COVID-19. He's got symptoms, so they're going to keep him at the house. My God, I want a hidden camera in the house while this game is going on. But Brian, how do you size this thing up? Clearly, Bama's playing really, really well. But how do you think the lack of Saban could affect this Iron Bowl game?
I don't think it's going to matter that much, guys. I tell you what, not having him there yelling and screaming, okay, that'll be a huge departure from their normalcy. But there's such a team that's so disciplined, and those upperclassmen, they know what's asked and demanded of them, and they hold each other accountable. So from that standpoint, they won't be missing much because they know how to go out and play safe and ball. There may come a critical moment, although I'm going to retract that. I don't think there will. It's a rivalry game, yes. We always say the normal things. Anything can happen no matter the record, but Alabama is just so balanced right now offensively, defensively, since the second half of the Georgia ball game. I believe it's only 20 points they've given up. They are just playing phenomenal ball. What they did to Kentucky just completely destroyed them last week, offensively, defensively. I think the same happens in this Auburn game. I was watching the tape earlier this week of Auburn and Tennessee. Auburn, at times, they look soft. They look like Texas defense used to look early in the season. They weren't physical, and they were just your garden variety, simple counter plays, and they weren't physical at the point of attack. They weren't playing with leverage and striking and shedding blockers, some huge holes for Tennessee to run through. And that's what Bama and Najee Harris, that's what they do best. And you can trust me, you can get a steady diet of power running. And if Auburn comes to the table as they did last week, versus Tennessee, it's going to be over fairly quickly. So I think Bama wins the ball game. Bo Nix is playing better these days, and they lost their maybe without their freshman phenom running back Tank Bigsby. They lost a couple offensive linemen. Now nothing says offensive lineman like the name Bro'Darius Ham.
He's
the right tackle. They lost Alec Jackson, the left tackle. We'll see if those guys show up, but right now it's looking like they're going to be out. So you definitely don't want to go up against Alabama shorthanded.
An O lineman named Ham on Thanksgiving week. That's good. That's what you need.
Come on.
That is what you need right there. That is your 2:30 CBS game on Saturday. Obviously, Brian, it all gets going with the Friday action for a lot of people. And around these parts, it's Texas back at it after a strange break where one week was a bye week. Then you're getting ready to play. Then in the middle of the week, you find out you're not going to play that game. And all told, it's 20 days that Texas hasn't played, yet Iowa State plays and blows out K-State, and they've got the short week. So what do you think we're going to see there with the contrast of rust, if you will?
Well, hopefully, if you're a Texas fan, you won't see that much. We were just talking about Alabama, how we hadn't seen them in 21 days, mm-hmm. and look what they did. So hopefully they're taking care of their business behind the scenes. And I told you guys the last time we spoke that I have a newfound – belief and energy and confidence in this defense, because the last two outings have been spectacular. Market improvement from earlier this season when I was in the tizzy, but now I get a warm feeling down my leg watching these guys play. I mean, they are controlling the line of scrimmage. You got young pups, the old pups who are flying around, and you shut down Spencer Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, and the next week, Letty Brown. That's stuff you can hang your hat on. And you have big-time stops in that game versus West Virginia, back-to-back drives on fourth down in the end zone. And you're able to do that. That's stuff that can grow and you can build upon. And it looks like they're doing that. And I know they haven't been on the field, but hopefully they are, at least in game, actually, but hopefully in practice they've been maintaining that intensity. They've been paying attention to details and not getting ahead of themselves thinking, all right, we've arrived now. No, you have not. You have not accomplished anything other than winning two games and playing the way you were supposed to play from the outset, at least defensively. So I think this game is going to be similar to the West Virginia game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. They've definitely got to stop Breece Hall. If you stop him, you win this ball game. Now, looking at last week's Iowa State game, K-State went in, and they had some backups on the defensive side of the ball. They were without two of their starting linebackers, and they looked like it. They had one cat out there. I'm not even going to mention his number, but he hadn't played football forever the way he was missing tackles and not being able to find the ball carrier. So the receivers, while more attention is paid to the tight end, there's some big old suckers too. The Kohler kid and the Allen, 6'6", 6'7". They're damn good, probably the best in conference, as one Big 12 coach told me. Now, the receivers made some fabulous plays in the end zone, tight coverage on them, and they made some very acrobatic catches. But I think it comes down to stopping Breece Hall. You never allow them to cook what they want to cook, guys. So you can't let Breece Hall get loose. He's bad to the bone, but you got to stop him. If they can do that, they can win offensively, no turnovers, have a clean slate there. Because we know what Bailey and McDonald IV can do, bringing pressure to the backer, Mike Rose. These guys are going to be physical. They're going to move around, give you different looks. So just make sure you don't have any self-inflicted wounds and defense come out and hit them in the mouth. And I think Texas can win the game.
Brian, I'm glad you brought up the receivers because I don't hear many people doing it. You're right. It's about running backs and tight ends. But I think number 8 is huge, man. Xavier Hutchinson is their leading receiver. He's caught like 16 more balls than Kohler has. And they use him on these big, long drag routes across the middle. This Texas defensive front has got to figure out a way to disrupt Purdy because K-State gave him all the time they wanted. And number 8 looked like a stud. He looked incredible in that game because Purdy had all day.
Well, he had to make some acrobatic catches, a couple of those touchdowns. He went up, and he was just a better athlete. And so, you would hope that was an aberration if you're Texas and not something that happens all the time. But there was some good coverage on him, and he just went up and made a play. So I haven't seen that much. I definitely didn't see that in the Oklahoma State ball game, in which they lost, of course, mm-hmm. there in Stillwater. Breece Hall was the best player on the offensive side for Iowa State, still is, and no one else showed up. None of those guys could get open. You know, I have to go back and look, and maybe they didn't play or whatever, but I know no receivers really stood out versus Oklahoma State. And so last week I was shocked. I was like, man, look at these guys. They're really making some incredible catches, and they're finding some holes. And, it's been interesting to watch them. But stop Breece Hall, you'll be all right.
Talking with Brian Jones, CBS Sports, at Jones and FOMO on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. So, Brian, this offense is obviously what Texas fans probably worry the most about. What exactly are they going to see? This should be Sam Ellinger's last game at DKR, senior night and everything, unless something changes and he wants to come back next year. So in that last game for him, looks like his receiving group is going to be pretty healthy. What do you want to see out of this offense against Iowa State?
Well, they got to protect Sam, and I thought they did a pretty good job of doing that against a damn good front that West Virginia brings to the table, the Steele brothers and that defense. I think they're number one right now in the Big 12, West Virginia. I thought they did a good job. Sam had time to find some openings. Yeah, the running game a little hampered in that one somewhat, but they got to be able to run the ball. That's going to be key number one, and they got to protect him. And if they can do that, Texas has the receivers that can make some noise. So if they give Sam enough time, he's going to find them. So that's the key for me. You know, open up some more holes. And Texas here of late, they haven't been that bad running the rock. They've been over 100. I guess they I'm going to check myself. I'm checking my notes here. But, yeah, they ran for almost 180 versus West Virginia. Give me that again. Give me that. Mm-hmm. And what really stood out, guys, when we discussed this, is the way they closed that game out. That's a tight game, 17-13. They get the ball back with about 4 minutes left to go, I believe, and maybe a little bit more than that. And they never gave it back to West Virginia. That's what you have to do. And you got to be able to run the rock when you need to run the rock. I don't give a damn if you haven't been able to do it all game. But in those moments when you can close it out, can you get it done? And they were able to do that. So give me 150, 160, 170, somewhere around there on the ground. No turnovers. They got a damn good chance of winning. Because you got to give credit to what the guys on the Iowa State side of the ball do. They're exceptional on the defense, man. They come to play. So you give them credit, but you go out and you find a way to get it done.
Brian, obviously Texas fans don't want to see him lose this game, but if I'm a Texas fan, what I specifically don't want to see is my team lose and Bijan Robinson's got like 12, 13 carries again and Iowa State wins and Breece Hall is toting the rock all over the place, showing me what I think a bell cow running back should be. Is that fair?
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
Breece Hall, we know, is going to get the carries. That's what Iowa State wants to do. If I was a Texas fan, it would just make me extra angry if my team lost with a bell cow running back being showed off on the other side, and I feel like I've got one, but he's only getting like 12 opportunities.
Well, listen, they're going to feed this dude, and I don't blame him. That's what they do. And when you're as talented as he is and, you know, the first back to 1,000 yards this crazy football season, and you gotta give it to him. So however many carries he has, just make sure he doesn't have those long runs. Make sure you keep him bottled up, and it's going to take a whole host of you to do that. You know, last week he didn't have to do much, 15 carries, at least the amount all season. Prior to that, it was, I believe, 18 at TCU, and he still had 154. TCU ball game, I don't think he had a carry in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I don't think he had one carry the first quarter, and he still got 150 on the ground against them. So he has a knack of getting these chunk plays. They had him bottled up last week. He was able to step out of a couple of tackles and run past, outrun a guy on the angle, who had him dead to right. So he's an exceptional talent, and you know he's going to get the ball a chunk at a time. You just make sure you're there to tattoo him whenever he has it.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports, joining us. Brian, what'd you think of the initial CFP rankings last night? Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson at 3, and Ohio State at 4. Do you think they got it right?
Well, Ohio State, obviously they didn't give Illinois enough respect, because coming back in that ballgame, Ohio State having to hold on. Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana is a damn good football team, and they just turned their nose up to knocking off Michigan and Penn State, you know, in the same year for the first time ever in program history, and I understand why. Of course, Penn State hadn't won a ball game. Michigan been fighting, especially last week, just to win at Rutgers, who is much improved. So, you know, to see Clemson go ahead of them, they felt that Clemson was shorthanded, which they were, versus Notre Dame, without three of their defensive starters. So they gave them a lot of credence there. And plus, they've been a mainstay in this deal for the last 5 or 6 years. So the Blue Bloods, like in Oklahoma, I was shocked to see Oklahoma ahead of Iowa State. What about head-to-head? You know, they
right.
They changed their criteria, it seems like, from year to year. And if head-to-head doesn't count, what the hell counts then? That should be the first barometer there. And Iowa State beat Oklahoma. I know Oklahoma looks like world beaters currently, but they still lost to Iowa State. No way they should be ahead of them, just like they didn't put Texas A&M ahead of Florida. Texas A&M haven't played in a couple of weeks now, but yet they beat Florida head-to-head, and they got it right as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, in terms of the two non-Power 5 teams, Cincinnati and BYU, clearly the message was sent. Would you agree with those? Is that where you would have put them, or would you have maybe slipped Cincinnati up above, say, Florida and A&M, just for the week to say, hey, you're undefeated, we'll put you at 5?
No, Cincinnati was a brand name. They'd, of course, be ahead of Florida and Texas A&M, but they're not. And they've had a pretty good record, you know, beating UCF, who's always been – on the national scene here of late, but now they're sitting there with 3 losses. You know, of course, they beat SMU early on. SMU was ranked. And so I think they got that about right. This is the highest the Group of Five has been ranked, I believe, since we've had this system right here in play.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know, I have no problem with. Georgia at 9, I have an issue with that. I mean, Georgia couldn't even run the rock. 8 yards running, and that's their belt. That's what they hang their hat on right there, is the rushing. And Mississippi State held them to 8 yards rushing, although they more than made up for it, passing for over 400 with their new quarterback, JT Daniels. So, you know, that one stands out. But, you know, for the most part, it pretty much went like I thought it would. You know, what's most glaring is Iowa State. And then the West Coast teams, the Pac-12 starting as late as they did, having to forfeit. Or not forfeit, but cancel or postpone as many games as they have after starting the season just a couple weeks ago. It's not boding well for them. You know, Oregon at 15 prior to the season, they were a top 10 football team. They're undefeated, haven't beaten anybody ranked, but yet they've been penalized for starting the season late.
All right, the line in Coming to America was, when you think of Akeem, think of garbage. When you think of Brian Jones, think of convenient haircuts. It's brought to you by Spa Dash Mobile Haircuts. Get that Spa Dash app from the Apple or Google Play stores and order today. Brian Jones of CBS Sports, the Iron Bowl on Saturday at 2:30 is the game they'll be talking about. Check him out at Jones and Famo on Twitter as well. Brian, happy Thanksgiving, man. I hope you get the food. And by the way, when you go visit your friends for Thanksgiving, take it from me, I'm looking out for you. If you get the warm feeling down your leg, they may not ask you to come back. So just be careful. Please be careful. Come on, man.
Hopefully I get it Friday with Texas plays and not when I'm at the dinner table. Okay?
Exactly. Make sure you get it at the right time and the right place. I don't want you to be losing a Thanksgiving opportunity. Have a great one, man, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'll try to hold my water. Hook them.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports. There you go. No Nick Saban, but we will. It takes more than Nick Saban getting COVID to get rid of an Iron Bowl. Let's hope so. 2:30 on Saturday on CBS. All right, up next, it's Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com and the Football Betting Show on the Believe Podcast Network. What does he think of the Longhorns and Iowa State? What does he think of Notre Dame and North Carolina? The Iron Bowl and some NFL thoughts. It's all coming up on The Horn.
I'm in love with your girl. I'm in love with your fear. By the touch of your hands, I'm far from here.
All right, Trey, it's either an incredible Vegas act or this is the Smashing Pumpkins.
I really loved the Smashing Pumpkins back in the 1990s into the early 2000s. I cannot continue to support this band
no?
in their current endeavors. It's just too electronic for me.
I wonder if it could be just things may happen to you when you own a professional wrestling organization. Like Billy Corgan may have changed fundamentally forever. You can't be the same person. Once you own pro wrestling in any way, I think maybe it changes you.
That's true.
But the voice is the same. He can't hide from that. That whine is still there.
It's what happened with Vince McMahon back in, what was it, the late 70s, early 80s. He was a folk singer in the footsteps of Bob Dylan, and all of a sudden he becomes a more heavy metal guy.
A lot of people don't know that Bob wrote Blowing in the Wind for Vince McMahon. A lot of people don't know that story. It is a classic. It's not really, but anyway. All right, so we'll get Brandon Lang going here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, let me remind everybody, we do have, of course, the Longhorns coming up with Iowa State. It is an early kick, so get up with us, Bucky and myself, getting it cranked up at 7 a.m. That's right, 7 a.m. for Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light.
Okay, I think we have some clarification on the Big 12 football tiebreaker.
Okay.
In the event that Texas beats Iowa State on Friday, Oklahoma State loses another game, and at the end of the year, you have a three-way tie.
Okay.
Between OU, Texas, and Iowa State.
I am all ears.
I think it does go to the next highest-ranked team in the conference, and whoever has the best record versus that team, so whoever's beat that team, if one of those three teams has not, then the other two teams will go on.
Oh, okay. So that would.
So the 8-point thing is not as big of a deal.
Depending on how the conference shakes out, that team, like you talked about, might be Oklahoma State. And at that point, Texas and Oklahoma would have beaten them. Iowa State would not have beaten them. So it actually goes to that. If that is the case, the Big 12 just needs to clearly state that on their website.
Yeah.
Those tiebreaker rules are, that's not what that says. I read it, it is not what it says.
It doesn't state it explicitly, but it does, in a weird way, hint at that. Like, it suggests that that's a possibility, but they do need to be very detailed in explaining what the tiebreaker is.
Yeah, instead of saying comparing conference records, you need to say you look at head-to-heads among the tied teams against every other team going down the standings. That's a very different discussion, and it would clarify a whole lot. I'm not sure if that's how I would do it, but at least you could be clear, and it would keep you away from, you know, pluses and minuses, and then somewhere down the line, a drawing of names.
So here's where it gets, I guess it wouldn't matter quite as much, but here's where it does get a little bit funnier.
Okay.
Is that right now you have 2-4-3 football teams sitting behind the logjam at the top. Iowa State right now is first. Oklahoma State, Texas. If West Virginia is the team that beats Oklahoma State, then West Virginia, Kansas State would be out if they lose to Texas, of course. But
right.
West Virginia and Oklahoma State would be those two teams at 4-3. So then do you go with West Virginia over Oklahoma State because West Virginia would have beaten Oklahoma State? Or do you take a combination of those two teams, which would work out in Texas' advantage because they've beaten both?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that anybody officially knows, and the conference better figure this out.
Yeah.
They look sillier and sillier when these things happen. This goes back to one true champion.
Yeah.
Like, figure out what you're going to do and clearly tell everybody what you're going to do. I don't understand why it can't be that, you know, easy to understand. They spend all that time every year at Big 12 Media Days having an official come up there and tell you all the rules they're looking at or whatever. Maybe they need to start with tiebreakers. Maybe that needs to be day one of the Big 12. One other quick reminder before we talk to Brandon, if you're looking for an idea for maybe you got family coming in for Thanksgiving and that's tomorrow you're dealing with it, but what about tonight? How about Z Tejas? They are doing a special Thanksgiving deal today. They're open 11 to 8, both locations, $25 a person, Thanksgiving, turkey and all the fixings, margaritas, great desserts. Check them out, ztejas.com. You can get reservations that way. They're doing the social distancing. They're taking your temperature when you're going in, making sure that everything is looked after and all the protocols are met. So if you got a little bit of family coming in, you're trying to do it safe, maybe that's an idea for tonight. ztejas.com. Check them out. We hope you will all have a safe and happy Thanksgiving this year. And again, wake up with us Friday morning at 7 a.m. for Texas football. Texas basketball is tonight at 7. If you want to check out Shaka Smart's crew, they are getting it on a little bit later, and we will have that one for you right here on the Horn. Right now, over on the Bat, Texas women are off to a good start in the Vic Schaefer era. Third quarter score, 64-31. My goodness, that is not how to welcome Travis Mays back to Austin. That's not very nice of you, Texas. 64-31, 3 minutes to go. Third quarter. There it is. All right, we good? Ready to roll?
Just another couple minutes.
Another couple minutes. All right, we're getting it figured out. Brandon was nice enough to rearrange his schedule for us, and he had to check the knee out. Brandon had some kind of knee infection thing a couple weeks ago and almost died and went to the hospital, and the doctors saved the knee and all that stuff. So he had to get a checkup today, and hopefully we'll get to talk some games with him. It is a big, big weekend coming up for a couple of teams specifically. Trey, I'll ask you the question I asked Brian. Anything surprise you last night with CFP? I guess the shocker, if you will, is Clemson over Ohio State, but I get that. That one makes sense to me.
Nothing too surprising. I guess Cincinnati was a little bit lower versus where I expected them. But the big thing for me, Chad, is they got it right in terms of teams that needed to be ahead of other teams who were around the same ranking, but they'd faced off against one another, and one team had beaten the other. Like, we just kind of assumed that Florida might end up ahead of A&M because they were getting a ton of love. Same with Oklahoma and Iowa State. But Iowa State and A&M, we're ahead of their counterparts, so I'm glad they got it right. And you know what? I'm okay with no unnecessary drama just for the sake of giving an additional talking point on things. The fact that they got the top four right, I think, is a big deal.
Yeah, and we'll see what they do. The biggest slap was BYU. To slap BYU with a 14 ranking is probably the big story that you would have there. The thing Trey's mentioning, of course, would be that Oklahoma did end up at 11, two slots above Iowa State. So the logic they use there is if you're two slots away, the head-to-head doesn't matter. But A&M and Florida were right together, so the head-to-head did matter.
Wait a second. Iowa State is worse ranked than Oklahoma.
Yeah, two slots.
Okay, I missed that. I apologize. So I think that they got that one wrong. Okay. Iowa State needed to be ranked ahead of Oklahoma.
All right, let's hit the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We'll talk with Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com and the Football Betting Show on the Believe Podcast Network. Brandon, how are you, man?
Forget that. BYU got rocked.
Yeah, they did.
They are, you want to talk eye test, okay, they had UTSA at home. That probably cost them. You know, you're a 20-something point favorite at home against UTSA. You win the game 24-21. Can't do that, you know. You got to beat Navy 55-3, pummeled Boise. But that UTSA is going to end up costing them. And you know what? Because that's too bad. Because they are a legit top five, top six team, if you've seen them play. Their offensive lineman, I think, one's 35, the other's 34. They got a 32-year-old there, did an 8-year mission. They got a 28-year-old and a 27-year-old. So their offensive line's, you know, basically five NFL guys playing college. So it is what it is. But, you know, listen, all these guys have white shirts with four pencils in their pocket, and they don't – They don't know squat. We deal with this every year. So, you know what? It is what it is.
Yep. BYU is going to be a tough matchup for somebody in a bowl game, though. Whoever gets them, that is going to be rough. Brandon, as far as the games this week, why don't we go ahead and start with Texas, the Friday morning affair. You talk to us all the time about Tom Herman as a favorite, Tom Herman as an underdog. You get him as a slight, very slight favorite here. It's basically a pick 'em, though. Texas minus one. What do you make of this Iowa State-Texas game? Because Texas fans are trying to figure it out.
Something's got to give, because Matt Campbell is 1-3 straight up and 0-4 against the number since taking over at Iowa State against Texas. 1-3 straight up, 0-4. He has never covered the number against Texas as a head coach of Iowa State. With that being said, this year, going back to last year, Mr. Tom Herman, 1-5-1 against the number in Austin. Going back to last year, 1-5-1. So something's got to give. I just get this sneaky suspicion based on how Iowa State's playing and what they did last week. I just think they got the recipe to beat Texas, and I'm going to take Iowa State.
Gotcha. All right. Later on that day, a game I really was looking forward to when it was set, Notre Dame and North Carolina, but now I'm not as excited. Mac Brown's crew's been up and down, had two embarrassing losses. So what do you make of this one now? I dig Notre Dame. They're looking pretty good, but North Carolina's disappointed me. I'm seeing Notre Dame by 5. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is going to be just like the BC game. BC's good. I mean, BC's good, and they went into Clemson the week before and stood toe-to-toe with Clemson, albeit, you know, the backup quarterback, but they stood toe-to-toe. Their defense stood toe-to-toe. And then the next week, they just imploded home against Notre Dame because basically Boston College's defense couldn't get enough stops to stay within the number. And I think here, North Carolina is strong offensively, but I don't believe their defense will be able to get enough stops to cover that number, and I think Notre Dame wins this game by 7 or more. Not a game I'll play, not a game I'll bet, a game I'll watch on TV, but, you know, because I'm a home dog guy. You give me, there were 22 home underdogs last week in college football, and I had 5 circled, and all 5 won outright. Or actually, 4 of the 5 won outright. Arkansas was the one that did. So I'm a home dog guy, but I just can't, you know, when you start letting Wake Forest put up 45 on them. I just don't think North Carolina defensively can hold up.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, anything else on the college side that you like this weekend? You got an Iron Bowl with a huge line, and Nick Saban doesn't coach. A&M, the line keeps going up with them and LSU. Anything jump out to you in college?
Colorado plus 13.5 over USC.
Okay.
I think USC is living on borrowed time. They should be 0-2. It should be 0-2, 0-3. The eye test is they're struggling. And I know the Buffs haven't beaten them outright since joining the Pac, Pac-12, 0-9 straight up. But they have covered 3 of the last 5. And I'm a big fan of Carl Durrell. I like what I'm seeing with Colorado. I'm going to take them plus the 13.5. And listen, I hit 150 dimer number 10 in a row 2 weeks ago on Saturday with Nebraska over Penn State. Last week, I came with 150 dimer number 11 in a row on Iowa over Penn State. I had said that the Penn State had never gone 0-5 in the history of their school. I said, well, that's going to happen. And I think they've never gone 0-6, and I think that's going to happen. I'm going to lay 2.5 with Michigan. Love the quarterback change for the Wolverines.
Ooh, how about that? All right. Shifting over to the NFL side, I will not make you deal with the Cowboys or Texans unless you really want to, because neither of them are that great. So NFL slate, your choice. What do you like in the pro side?
Houston, minus the points over Detroit. Matthew Stafford banged up some. Detroit is really just that bad. I think Deshaun picks that defense apart. I think it's going to come out at some point today. They're going to move Pittsburgh and Baltimore to the weekend.
That's done. That's done. It's moving to Sunday. Yep.
I told you. I said it on an earlier radio show. Remember, I've been at the VA at a doctor's appointment for 2 hours. So
yeah.
So I didn't hear that, but I said it on 2 shows earlier today. There is no way Vegas is going to Atlanta and they are going to lose. I like Vegas by it down to 2.5, like what I'm seeing from John Gruden. And the upset of the day or the dog of the day is – last week I came on your show and I said, watch out, Denver plus the points over Miami. I said on your show last week, when you start making team road favorites that they have been asked to cover a number like this, weird things happen in the NFL, and you saw it as Denver dominated Miami. Jacksonville was a lot better than people think. Last week, you see 27-3 final. I tell you, Jacksonville was in that game for close to three quarters. Give me Jacksonville plus the points over Cleveland. This is a Cleveland Browns team, 1-9, their last 10 against the spread as a visitor. And you were asking them to cover that big a number. Upset alert, the Jags plus the points.
How about that? And am I reading right? Mike Glennon, a little bit of NFL experience with Mike Glennon, their quarterback. That could be a big part of that game. That's Brandon Lang.
Huge.
BrandonLang.com, the football betting show on the Believe Podcast Network as well. Brandon, have a great Thanksgiving, man. We appreciate you rearranging the schedule for us this week. We'll hit you back the regular time next week. Thank you, man.
You got it, and keep your fingers crossed. 150 dimer, number 12 in a row. Go Saturday. Let's go, baby.
There we go. Thanks, man. 12 in a row. It's a dozen weeks in a row. Working on it. There you go. Thanks to Brandon for his time, as always. Up next, we'll get you stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, we started the show with the moving of that Steelers-Ravens game. We'll tell you what else has come down the line. Thankfully, no other NFL games have moved. We'll give you the big stories of the day, though. Games that have been moved, basketball having trouble getting started as well, and the death of a soccer legend started our show today as well. We'll reiterate that one on the horn. New music, or are you just going straight up Thanksgiving cranberry reference?
So this is supposed to be a demo of a song that was obviously released, I mean, 25 plus years ago by the Cranberries, who may still be a band, although the original lead singer is no longer with us. She drowned earlier this year. This song is called Song to My Family, but it's supposed to be a demo of the song. It sounds very similar to the popular version of the song, though.
So
I'm not sure how it's a demo. I'm not sure what is stripped down off of this.
It's a little slower, a little more deliberate.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, not as much layering on it. I can hear how this would just be kind of one layer of it there. I forgot she drowned. Is that right?
I think there was some alcohol involved also. Yeah, not a good story.
And man, you talk about a lead singer, it's tough to replace. I mean, geez.
That yodeling style?
Right? You just got to sound like her. What? I've got to do what? A lot of great attitude in that band from back in the day. So shout out to the Cranberries. Some new stuff out there to check out if you like them. We've got a lot of stuff to get to in Stems and Seeds, including an opt-out, opt-in, and opt-out. Let's go there. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations. AV Consultations is 255-8678, 255-8678, or avconsultations.com. Happy Thanksgiving to Tom and his crew over at AV Consultations. That guy, by the way, it's one guy, opt in, opt out, opt out, in, and back out. That's Rashad Bateman of Minnesota. And Trey, this is an interesting pattern to watch. These guys are taking the chance coming back because they were going to play. But once you determine your team is garbage, then they're saying, you know what, maybe I better just go ahead and duck back out to head to the NFL. I don't think anybody's going to fault him for that. Rashad Bateman has opted back out.
And then you have guys like Ja'Marr Chase who realize pretty early on in fall practice, oh my goodness, my team is not going to be very good. I'm just going to opt out from the get-go and not even bother attempting to come back.
Let's go. Biggest stories of the day throughout the show. The death of Diego Maradona. He is Maradona. You go Maradona. Maradona.
It's Maradona, I'm
sorry.
Pretty sure.
I grew up in Waxahachie. We said Maradona back in.
Burn it, darn it.
Burn it. All right, come on. Maradona. The death of Diego Maradona. He is dead at the age of 60. All kinds of stuff that he's been dealing with, including, like Trey mentioned, apparently was addicted to coke from like the 80s all the way into the 2010s, plus a brain surgery in November the pain is over and the struggle is over for Diego. Hopefully his family will find some peace in that. We got Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19. This one's legit. He's got symptoms, so they don't think it's a false positive. He won't coach the Iron Bowl. And the Steelers and Ravens have moved to Sunday. You might have to talk to your family Thursday night. I'm sorry. Tomorrow night, you guys are going to need to find a movie, Charlie Brown, little great pump, something, Trey, because the game's not on.
You know, or maybe NBC shows Heidi instead, or some Friends reruns, like you had suggested earlier in the show.
Friends Thanksgiving, the one where Chandler is happy that he's with his friends because his family is not there. Like, let's do that one. It's kind of a socially distanced Thanksgiving episode anyway.
Is that the one where somebody ends up with a turkey on their head?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Joey did end up with a turkey on his head in an episode.
Joey, that's what it is.
That was high quality. That's some high quality television right there.
Hey, it looks like the Rockets may not find a partner for a Russell Westbrook trade before training camp gets going. So we'll be counting the days now until the Rockets check in to see if Russell Westbrook actually decides to show up.
Dude, if they can just keep one of those two guys. In fact, he's the one I'd say keep. If you can keep one of the two.
I don't know, man. He really, really chokes hard come playoff time. But unless you're planning on going through a true rebuild and it doesn't matter and you're like, we just want this triple-double machine because we know we're not going to have to worry about it in crunch time.
But if you need, but he's going to pass a little bit, right? The ball's going to move a little more than with Harden?
Yes, a little bit, just because he is going for those 10 assists a game. But at the same time, if you are trying to compete at all, I think you keep James Harden over Russell Westbrook.
Dude, I want a camera on the wall, obviously at Nick Saban's place this weekend. But also, I need a hidden camera in the locker room for the Rockets when they report to camp if both of those guys are there.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the level of ego, stuck-upness, just stubbornness, arms folded? It's going to be one of the worst things ever. But for those of us that enjoy watching train wrecks, it might be the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, for the train wreck perspective, for sure. But, you know, I think both guys can be professional enough.
Man.
I think it has more to do with just being disenfranchised with the direction of this team. Now that they fired a coach that both guys were pretty big fans of, and you're trying to shift back to a more traditional lineup and actually having tall guys in tall positions, they feel like they're better off trying to win a title someplace else.
So, Trey, I mentioned that Rashad Bateman's going to opt back out. Minnesota was supposed to play Wisconsin this week. They've canceled the game. They had gone 113 straight years. This is the Paul Bunyan's axe game, you know, the big giant axe, and they're carrying it around. That game is off for the weekend. And I know you'll find this interesting, Wisconsin now, unless something changes, will not have played enough games to go to the Big Ten championship.
This is what we talked about when the announcement was initially made back in September or whenever it was, Chad, is you're going to see teams having to skip so many games that it becomes a question of if they end up undefeated, which neither of these teams are, obviously, but if like an Ohio State ends up in a similar situation where they don't even qualify for their team's conference championship.
Yeah.
Do they still get to be in the top four?
The only way they could get in now is if a certain percentage of other games aren't played.
Right.
They almost have to root for other teams to get screwed like them.
Right, exactly.
That's tough. Yeah, that's a really tough way to do it. Texas beats Iowa State? Yeah?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Keep that momentum going?
Sure.
Four in a row? Tom Herman saving the gig? You never know. 7 a.m. is when
that's going to require beating Oklahoma in the championship.
That game. May be true. 7 a.m. for Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. That's on Friday morning. And then, of course, you got Longhorn basketball tonight at 7, so check that out. Have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. Cowboys at 3, pregame at 2, right here on the Horn as well. And we'll be back on Monday, but after Texas basketball, because they're in the Maui Invitational. So we'll talk to you at some point after the basketball game on Monday. Have a good Thanksgiving. Thank you for being a part of it. See you.